And while we're talking medical news, an issue that a lot of hospitals are dealing with, those alarms that go off on medical devices when something is not quite right. Anything from an irregular heartbeat to an empty IV bag can result in loud beeps. But if there are too many beeps, how can hospital staff know which ones are truly urgent? Mike and Scott from The Pulse at Here and Now contributor WHYY reports on how some hospitals are trying to cut through the noise.
Alarms echo through the busy hospital units of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Amplified by computers at the nurses' station, the noise is relentless. And as pediatrician Chris Bonafide found out, mostly useless.
99% of the alarms that we saw were not actionable, meaning that a true alarm, an alarm that you really needed to run in the door and save a patient, was truly like a needle in a haystack, like a 1% kind of a thing.
Bonafide has been researching alarms and their effects on healthcare providers and patients. The 99% figure he just quoted applies to regular hospital units, but even in an intensive care setting, the vast majority of alarms do not mean a patient is in danger. For example, let's say the patient is a baby kicking his legs. So much so, the little sticker that holds the monitor sensor in place comes off.
So the device on the wall thinks that his heart rate is going way out of whack, but actually, it's just fine, and it's a happy kicking baby with a slightly loose kind of a lead.
Bonafide has been studying what happens when you get false alarm after false alarm, a phenomenon called alarm fatigue. He found that when nurses have already gotten lots and lots of alarms during their shift, it affects response times.
As you got up to the most extreme group, the group of nurses who had seen 80 or more alarms in the preceding 2 hours, their response time was several fold slower to future alarms when they had been exposed to that many alarms. So we thought that that was pretty consistent with alarm fatigue.
How slow is slow?
We're talking difference of minutes.
At the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Bonafide says over 1,800 different devices are used in patient care, and most of them can send off alarms. And every time an alarm goes off, a nurse on the floor is alerted and has to make a decision.
Do I stop and interrupt this task that is probably really important to go and check on that other patient? So it's a difficult decision happening for a nurse. It can happen hundreds of times just in a single shift.
You may be calculating your medication dose and drawing up your meds, and your alarm beeps, so you turn around to look at your phone or to look at your patient.
That's Children's Hospital Intensive Care Unit nurse Kara Terity.
And then to being able to start that process all over again and not just pick up in the middle, so you lessen the gap for error.
So basically, once you've interrupted, you go back to square one?
Correct.
So that sounds frustrating.
It can be. It can be very frustrating. I think it's something that we've just become accustomed to in the ICU.
The urgent beeping also has a big impact on patients.
Your child is in a glass box hooked up to every conceivable kind of monitor, and you just don't know what's going on. It's frightening.
Mike Kennedy's son, Alex, was born just 27 weeks into the pregnancy. A tiny preemie weighing just 2 pounds, he spent 3 months in the NICU. Kennedy remembers the constant alarms and the nurses reassuring him and his wife, Christine, that it was nothing.
But there was one time in particular that it wasn't nothing.
The pulse ox alarm went off, and when Kennedy and his wife looked up to the monitor, they realized their son's oxygen level was going down rapidly. It fell below 30%.
And we could see coming out of his mouth and nose was formula, so it was clear that he was choking on the formula that he was being fed. And so we called over the nurses, and they were like, "Oh, it's okay, he'll be fine, he'll be fine." And we're like, no, it's not fine, something's going on here, we need you to get over here and take a look.
The incident haunted Kennedy, and the sound of alarms haunts him to this day, even though his son is a healthy 6-year-old now. Alarm fatigue has become a top priority for hospitals and researchers looking for ways to reduce the noise. Among them is engineer Keith Karn, who works for product designers the Bressler Group. Karn used to work in aviation and says one important lesson medicine could learn from aviation is to streamline information and to offer it at the right time.
in the case of combat, say, in the heat of the battle, the pilot doesn't need to be reminded that his landing gear is up and retracted and safely stowed away. But when the pilot comes back to the base or back to the ship to land the airplane, he really wants to know and be checked to make sure that his landing gear is down.
Pediatrician Chris Bonafide says one simple step to reduce false alarms is to put only patients on monitors who truly need to be monitored, those who are critically ill. And he says monitors need to become smarter and only go off if a condition persists.
So we have the capability in some medical devices to put delays on to say, don't fire an alarm until that condition has existed for more than X number of seconds.
Bonafide is now doing a 5-year study, doing more video observations, and he says he hopes that within the next 10 years or so, alarms will finally become the useful tool they were intended to be, alerting care providers only to true problems. For Here and Now, I'm Mike and Scott in Philadelphia.